Does it bother you that the world is on fire? Maybe you, too, perpetually feel like screaming? Well, hop in, Rabble Rouser. We're going hunting for a manifesto. Manifestos are a call to action, an artful scream. They capture our anger and they try to do something with it. They're history's Hail Mary, and when they work, they're explosive. On the 250th anniversary of the manifesto that launched America itself, this is my manifesto on manifestos. Listen to Dan Taperski's manifesto wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It live from Hollywood. I'm John Lovett, and like a data center, no matter how much water I drink, I'm always kind of thirsty. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. Amid speculation about the nature of Donald Trump's relationship with his young, weirdly devoted aide, Natalie Harp, Melania Trump made her first public appearance in a month on Thursday.
Good afternoon. I heard you missed me. Here I am.
Added Melania, I'll say to you the same thing Robert Wagner said to those investigators when he got off that boat. I have no idea where Natalie is, but I hope she's okay. How many people here know about Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood? Oh, yeah. All right, not enough. Meanwhile, as Republicans continue to feign outrage over Senator John Ossoff's comments, Trump continues to prove his point about not wanting to do his job. On Wednesday, Trump turned what was supposed to be a policy meeting into basically an Architectural Digest home tour.
We got rid of the asphalt here, and this is granite. And if you notice, it's radial. Radial meaning it's cut about 2 degrees. Every stone is 2 degrees rounded. So that instead of putting straight pieces down, we have the stone absolutely perfectly rounded.
It's enough to make you forget that we lost a war in Iran. And I'm sorry, but caring this much about granite is not the job of the president. It is the job of a wealthy woman who used to be a lawyer, but left her career to raise her children, and now they're in elementary school, and she's redoing the kitchen with a shocking degree of intensity and focus, as if putting the same energy into countertops that she once put into court filings will stop her brain from vibrating inside of its skull. Here's Trump hyping up the new White House helipad after signing it with a Sharpie.
This will be here long after we're gone. No matter what happens with the world, this is not moving. This will take any kind of shot.
The pyramids of Giza, the hanging gardens of Babylon, the helipad of the South Lawn. I wonder what this was, said a boy in tattered clothes to his father on the long walk from their clan's outpost in the Virginia neutral zone through the eastern contaminated region to the walled city of New Baltimore. Oh, well, when I was your age, there were these giant mechanical birds that could fly all across the country. Some were as big as that fallen monument down there, but others were smaller and could land on a spot just like this. And then on what was known as a talk show, like the plays the troupe puts on in our village at night, a village elder named Kamala Harris was asked how she would be different than the presiding elder, Joe Biden. And she fucked it up! Trump also touted the helipad's multifunctionality.
They'll be using that almost like a table. They can have events on it. They can have people go there for cocktails and then walk to the ballroom after that's finished. We can have really incredible. This is unbelievable for state.
Using the helipad almost like a table, but a table for feet. A shame. It's not dementia. We simply as a culture do not have a word for a big flat area that's a table for your feet. Not dementia. It's not that he can't find the word. There is no word. Even now, as we're sitting here, none of us can think of the word for a flat area on the ground that's like a table. but for your feet. And then there's, of course, the beautiful grass.
You know, grass has a life like humans have a life. This has all been redone. It's all been topsoiled. In other words, we put topsoil, brand new earth on top. It's very, you know, very, lot of good ingredients in that earth for grass. If you're grass, you're very happy.
If you're grass, you're very happy. If you're a voter, not so much. I bet he'd go to the grass's wedding, said Don Jr. to a therapist who has him on mute. And then there was this.
This is a great poll. This is the top of the line. It's tapered. This isn't a straight up and down job, which looks terrible, frankly. That's a tapered poll. Great. I'm very good at flagpoles.
It's a shame Lindsey Graham isn't alive to see this. Though if he were, that flagpole would have been the thing that killed him. Speaking of which, in South Carolina, Darlene Graham, who was appointed to fill her late brother's Senate seat, is now running to replace him on the ballot this fall. Of course, no one could ever truly replace Lindsey Graham, said a gay prostitute struggling to make rent since July. During a debate on Tuesday, Graham was asked a question about foreign policy, and here's how that went.
Are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States, and if so, why or how?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not on national security. I'm not that informed on national security. So, but I do support the military. I'm not a polished politician up here. National security is not my thing, not my area of expertise. But I do support the military.
Brutal. I've had that dream before, but usually I'm naked and then all my teeth fall out. And then I'm running around the Senate trying to bring a speech to Hillary Clinton, but my sex ed teacher, Mr. Pappas, is standing in the door holding a banana. I don't know what it means. The debate between Graham and Republican Congressman Ralph Norman grew pretty contentious, but it's a slumber party compared to what's been going down in Florida. Congressman Randy Fine, who is Jewish and a virulent Islamophobe, defeated social media personality Dan Bilzerian, a Holocaust denier who has said that Jews are the source of the world's ills. These guys don't belong in a primary. They belong in a sitcom. Hey, Dan, if Jews control the weather, then why is it freezing in this apartment? Am I Jesus right now? Because this Jew is killing me. Randy Fine once proposed nuking Palestine and celebrated the deaths of children in Gaza, which obviously won't work for the sitcom. Sitcom canceled. Bilzerian, who has almost 30 million followers on Instagram, posted an AI video that asked what Hitler's advice might be in the race. Said Hitler, "Have you considered losing and then killing yourself?" Meanwhile, Alaska chose their Senate nominees on Tuesday. Per the state's nonpartisan primary, the top four vote-getters of any party move on to the general election. Democratic former Congresswoman Mary Peltola led the field, followed by Republican Dan Sullivan, as well as Republican Dan Sullivan. Danned if you do, danned if you don't. On the November ballot will include both incumbent Republican Senator Dan S. Sullivan and Alaskan logger Dan J. Sullivan, Jr. It must be frustrating for Dan S. Sullivan. I know I'm pretty frustrated to be confused with the less famous John Lovitz. Peltola has a real shot at becoming the state's first Democratic senator to be elected since 2008. Her campaign slogan is Fish, Family, and Freedom, which is pretty good compared to Dan Sullivan's slogan, No, not that one, this one, me. Speaking of loggers where they probably shouldn't be, the Trump administration on Tuesday moved to open nearly 45 million acres of untouched wilderness to logging by seeking to repeal an environmental rule that's been in place since the turn of the century. I don't understand, said Trump, when the concept of wilderness was explained to him. There are no buildings, but you can't play golf? The roadless rule was finalized by Bill Clinton, surprising the incoming administration just days before Clinton left office in 2001. I hope nothing else catches us by surprise this year, said George W. Bush. Republicans and their industry allies have been fighting to delay, weaken, and eliminate the rule ever since through deregulation during the Bush and Trump years and in the courts. said Smokey the Bear. We must protect these forests. Hey, where are you taking me? Passport, I'm a citizen. I want to call my lawyer. Why do your gloves hurt so much? And finally, an Amazon Prime drone delivered a package into a Texas woman's swimming pool. Said the woman, oh no, my vibrators, I mean vitamins. We've got a great show for you tonight, and we'll be right back with Emmy Rossum.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know we love BetterHelp, but the real story is the feedback for people using it every single day. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from real people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. More than 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties, meaning the perfect therapist for you could be a few clicks away. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started, answer a few questions, and get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. Therapy, it's great. You need therapy. We all do. If you can get into therapy, you should do it. There's so many things you need to talk about. And even if you think, you know, things are pretty good, there's long-term things you should be talking about. There's ways it can help you manage problems in your life, figure out confrontations, figure out your career stuff. A lot of things you could talk about with a therapist. See the reviews. See what stands out and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com/loveit. That's BetterHelp.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Helix. Sleep is very important. A good night's rest sets you up for a great day. I have trouble going to sleep. Once I'm asleep, I usually mouse. But sometimes I like my mind is racing. I go to my phone. Then all of a sudden, I'm up past midnight and like I don't get 5 or 6 hours, maybe I get 6.5 hours, but like it adds up over time. And it's so great that I have this Helix mattress because it's so comfortable and it means that whatever is going on, I know that like my bed is super comfortable. I have the Dawn Lux and it was, I did take the Helix sleep quiz, which will match you with the perfect mattress based on your personal preferences and sleep needs. They have over 20 mattress models, so you can find the perfect model for you. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. Plus, you can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. Plus, Helix offers a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. I'm a huge fan of Helix. I genuinely love my Dawn Lux mattress from Helix. Had it for a long time, and it's great. Go to helixsleep.com/loveit for 27% off site-wide. This offer is exclusive to Love It or Leave It listeners. That's helixsleep.com/loveit for 27% off site-wide. helixsleep.com/loveit. And we're back! We are less than 100 days from the midterms, and Crooked is here with all the analysis context to guide you through the cycle. If you are already a friend of the pod, thank you for making what we do at Crooked possible. It is the best way to support the independent pro-democracy media company we're building. If you are not, as a reminder, if you become a friend of the pod, you get a bunch of ad-free episodes, you get a bunch of subscriber-only shows like Pod Save America Only Friends and Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster, or via a bunch of newsletters, and you get exclusive perks and a discount to come to CrookedCon. So please, please, please become a friend of the pod. Go to crooked.com/friends to sign up. And to get a ticket for CrookedCon, go to crookedcon.com. Please welcome to the show from Furious on Hulu, a show I absolutely love and I'm amazed by. It's Emmy Rossum. Hi, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
It's so nice to meet you. It's so nice to have you on the show. I was so excited that you're going to be here because Furious is incredible. Like, it is so good. I really want to convey how much I genuinely think it is an amazing thing that you're a part of.
Thank you.
And you're amazing in it.
Thank you.
There's a way that you smile as an FBI agent that I was like clocking as you were going through this kind of like vaguely dead-eyed thing that you're doing. Do you know that you're doing that, or are you just in the character?
That's so specific. That's interesting. I did notice, I got the chance to, I've been working on this for like 3.5 years. So the fact that it's finally out there and that people like it is really exciting. And Liz Merriweather, who I know you know, is an incredible writer of people and women specifically. And she and I got to spend a lot of time with FBI agents. And my character is a former NYPD detective who became an FBI agent. So I had to get to know both kinds of law enforcement. And New York City detectives have a very kind of like front-footed, relaxed body. They're really like pounding the pavement every day. They're case, 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 case. They have a lot of incoming cases, and they're under the weight of, you can just feel that they're very in their bodies and also very, they're really metabolizing a lot of shit all the time, bad cases, things not being solved. Whereas FBI agents, I have never seen such good posture in my entire life. The straightest, whitest teeth, the most perfect, like if you were to write their sentences, they have perfect punctuation. I was at one point snuck onto the West Point base by laying in the back of a car like this and pretending I wasn't in it so that I could get onto the base to meet these guys and with Quincy Tyler Bernstein and shoot these big guns. They offered us grenades, but I said no on that one. No grenades today. Thank you so much. But they were really incredible and really let us in. And what I understood from working with them is that they have a way of kind of disconnecting from the weight of the work that they do. And I could tell that there was something in their eyes that was, I think they're always clocking everything that's happening in the room while they're talking to you. And so even though their faces are moving and kind of simulating normal looking behaviors, there's something uncanny about it because there's so much going on in their head at the same time.
I remember when I was going to work in politics in the White House as a speechwriter, and you have to fill out something called an SF-86, which is this.
I'm laying back so far here. This is so, I just laid back, and I like it, but I'm laying very far back. Yes, okay. So sorry.
But the SF-86 is this long form where you go through basically everywhere you've lived, people that you live with, and you have to say any crimes you've committed and any drugs that you've done.
Uh-oh.
And you have to be honest because it's not about, I mean, it's partially about what drugs you've done, but it is mostly about wanting to know if there's anything you could be blackmailed over.
Of course.
Like, that's the purpose of the form. Like, do you have any secrets? Is there anything a foreign intelligence agency could use to get you to give them inside information? But so it ends up with you sitting across from someone from the FBI telling them how many times you've smoked weed and how recently. Wow. And I do remember this sort of like very intense, very pleasant, very kind of kind and empathetic person who was listening, but you understood like there was like this toughness to the thing. You were like, oh, but this is there. She's not missing a thing and she's
totally
fully engaged. I always think about that.
Yeah,
I lied right to her face. No, I'm kidding.
You did.
I'm kidding.
You were like, never. Never have I ever.
No, I confess to the weed. That's all. Still sounds like I'm lying. We've got to move on.
Let's move on.
No, but like the other part of the show that's amazing to me is, so if you take out the fact that it's about this female detective and this female serial killer kind of going back and forth, a lot of the tropes in it are kind of traditional, right? It's a grizzled cop kind of facing her own demons and disliked in her unit, trying to find this killer. But both because I think it is about a woman in that role, and it's just so excellent. You do feel like you're watching something totally new. And I'm wondering what it was like with Liz trying to figure that out as you're making it.
Well, Liz is the kind of writer who doesn't protect the character from making the absolute worst decisions. And so I never felt that I had to protect the character at all. I felt like my job was to understand and to explain, often non-verbally, what the motivations were so that people would be on board with that. And yeah, I think, you know, it's loosely inspired by a film called Black Widow with Teresa Russell and Deborah Winger. And in that, you never know the motivations of the serial killer. The first half is like a fun cat and mouse, and then the second half is the two women find their way to each other and they sit on a beach getting to know each other. There's a weird scuba sequence. Someone is nodding. They've seen it. You're wondering, are they going to kill each other? Are they going to make out? What's going to happen? It's very strange. It doesn't become at all like a cat and mouse and then kind of ends in an interesting way. But Liz went back, and when when Liz and I started working on this, she said, well, I wonder what a female serial killer, why they're really killing. And there have been so few in reality that we know of who have been caught.
Maybe they're just better at it than men.
Well, it's possible.
Wow, I haven't thought about that. Oh, no.
But I do think, but I do think that we did learn that they're all victims of violence. So that's where she started. And, you know, obviously creating this big dynamic character of Catherine and giving both women this kind of history that is so similar was a really inspired place to start.
And when you were getting ready for this, there have been moments where, like, you've had to kind of run towards some discomfort too, like both in the preparing for the role and in doing the role. And just curious about those moments, and then also if it's changed at all now that you're also a mom yourself.
Oh, that's so interesting. Well, it's really hard not to bring the intensity of your job home with you. And often if you're dealing with really dark subject matter, I literally have to take showers, like when I come home, to like imagine that it's leaving me. But yeah, the preparation for this was intense. I did fly to West Texas and was put through like a mini boot camp Quantico. The first day was just kind of weapons and targets, target training. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. I was called a dead eye, which is somebody who is just naturally a very good shot. I am not bragging. I think it's just because I am an intense listener. Like, I listen to the instructions that you're telling me, and I really want to be a good student, and I'm going to line it up exactly the way you want me to. Melissa, okay, is that, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah. So I don't think it's any special skill. I think it's just that. But the second day, I was put through more of a simulation course of taking a hill. And I was given not real bullets that day, but simmunitions, which are bullets that are filled with paint. But if they hit you, they can sting. And my former FBI teacher sneak attacked me. She had a guy, like a plant, who was a former military guy, snuck onto the course with his own simmunitions gun and attacked me. And I was firstly shook.
Yeah.
And was like, no. Who is this? Who is this man? Why is there a man shooting at me? Like, I didn't sign up for this. And she was like, well, you're a really good shot, but we got to get you in the emotional place that you got to go, because you are far too permeable. And after that, she was like, okay, so now we're going to do one where you're jogging through the woods. Just pretend you're like jogging through Central Park. You're an FBI agent. You've got your gun on your hip. You've got your AirPods in, and there's a gentleman who's going to come up behind you. And I said, nope, not going to do that one. Absolutely. Like, I jog in Central Park. But I think the point was, we really have to get you in these scenarios where you're used to fighting your way through adrenaline. And that was obviously being a woman in the world. We are always a little bit on guard, and these agents are super on guard, but super ready.
Did that change anything about you moving through the world after? We're like, because I know if I play a video game where I am like crashing my car a lot, I'm definitely thinking about it in a new way when I'm driving home. Like, I used to play Grand Theft Auto, and then there were moments where I was like, oh, John, this is real. Stay in the lane.
Yeah.
Those are real people over there.
Yeah.
You can't, you know.
2 points.
Yeah, you're not going to.
2 points.
You don't want to get five stars.
Points. You don't want that.
When that's, because then the cops will get you.
You don't want that.
No, and then you won't complete your task.
I don't know the game, but I am imagining.
But did that happen to you?
Well, I would, yes. Well, in a way, yeah, because you want that to happen to you, right? I would walk down the street, and I would try to remember everyone that I had seen and remember all the license plates and know how to have peripheral vision and know where to sit in the restaurant. And I would do all those things all the time. And it became very second nature to me. It wasn't a great place to exist.
That's cool. I can never remember license plates.
One agent told me that she taught her kid how to do that, that she would run simulations with her kids, that she would say, okay, so if you were walking down this street and you noticed somebody following you, which house would you go into? And I was like, I don't know, that one? And she's like, no, there's no car parked in front of it. That means there's no one home. You're dead. And I was like, wow, this is it's really a huge part of their identity. Safety and awareness and hypervigilance is just very intense. And that became a huge kind of fundamental underpinning of building the character.
I used to jog by the National Zoo, and I would think, if there's a tiger right now, what's my plan? And it's usually to die.
To die. You know, I once was in Alaska for a month with my mom, and there was a ranger that said, if you ever see a bear, don't run, and don't turn your back to it. Sing. Don't whistle. It'll think you're a bird and it'll eat you. But if you sing, they know only people sing. And I thought this was like a shtick until one morning on my cabin porch. I'm like 7 years old. My mom's in the shower in Alaska. And a bear came up and like stood right in front of the cabin. And I just went right into, I think like, if I were the king of the forest, that's the one that came to mind. Like, and the bear was like, I was like, I'm like, la, ha, 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 ha. No. And the bear walked away. So either he didn't like that song or, yeah, that's what happened.
That's really cool. Don't you think it's crazy that we all know that there's two kinds of bears and one you got to get small and one you got to get big, but nobody ever tells you which one? Like, we all know that, right? Right now, you know that. Get big, get small, which bears which? Some of them you got to lay down. Some of them just get down. But some of them get big. And I don't know. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about?
You know this. People are nodding.
What? You don't know which bear, but you've heard this, right? That some bears, what's the answer?
If it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lie down. Oh.
But see, you don't know if that's true. What are you doing? You're going to get somebody fucking killed. If it's brown. See, he had a little thing that he knew about rhyming, but and that person had already referenced it.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Hey, you remember the day after tomorrow?
Yes.
How old were you in that? You were so young.
17.
In that. 17. Mm-hmm. And then that climate change caused the world to get really, really cold.
It did.
But that doesn't seem to be what's going on
it's
for us now.
Sure not. Certainly not. Certainly not.
That was an exciting time when we could imagine that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I, for some strange reason that I know, but when the wave is coming, instead of immediately running, I put on a bucket hat.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to look good.
Didn't want to get that blowout wet, I believe was the note.
Yeah.
That was the note. Not my desire, but I was told to put the hat on, so I did.
The villain in that movie is cold.
Yes.
The cold.
Wave and then the cold.
Right, because the villain
and then the wolves on
and
the
then
boat.
The wolves, yeah. Yes. They're sort of like a henchman of the cold.
Yes.
But then in that movie also the cold becomes it's very cold everywhere.
Yes.
But they're super cold that'll get ya. And it chases yes. people around like helicopters.
Yes.
Remember they freeze in the air and they fall out and they land and they explode.
I do. I wasn't in those scenes, but
I
saw the movie.
I think you were in a library.
I was stuck in the New York Public Library.
Yeah.
But I was using my body heat to keep Jake Gyllenhaal warm, which was enjoyable for my character and also me.
But then since then, your characters have become much more dark.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes.
Are you drawn to the dark characters?
Yes, of course. I think it's the opportunity to understand your shadow self. Huh. All the stuff you are makes you uncomfortable, scared that you might do, scared that you could be. Like one of the more interesting kind of wild swings that Liz takes with this character is her relationship with her sexual self. She's an abused woman. She has a very complicated relationship with this ex that this relationship spans, 20 plus years. And because of the nature of the way that her, brain and her trauma has worked, she now seeks out violence and it's a turn on for her. And I think that that is not confusing for her. It's something that she accepts and likes. And I remember reading that in the script and almost throwing the script across the room and being like,
Because you're going to have to figure out how to make that seem real.
You're going to have to figure out how to find those parts of yourself that desire those things that are intense, that could hurt you, that why you're drawn to the fire. Yeah, I like it.
Kind of like the wolves in The Day After Tomorrow.
Correct. Thanks for bringing that back.
Thank you, Emmy. You're awesome. Everybody,
thank you.
Furious is an amazing show. And you can watch it on Hulu and Disney Plus right now. Emmy will be back towards the end of the show, and we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Tommy John. This summer, don't be that guy. You know, the one with sweat pooling in his pants. Everything sticking where it shouldn't. Public transport is a sauna. Your walk to work feels medically unsafe, but you don't have to suffer through it. Meet Air Underwear, your heat wave approved upgrade for all day comfort. Air Underwear is perfect under light summer fabrics. No visible lines guaranteed. Tommy John's lightest underwear yet. Designed with micro perforations for max airflow all summer long, so you stay cool, dry, and significantly less swamp-like from the very first layer. Whether it's a full day at the office, a long commute, or just getting through peak summer heat, Air is built to keep your base layer breathable, lightweight, and barely there, so you're not dealing with trapped heat, sweat buildup, or an uncomfortable too warm all day feeling. It's incredibly light, incredibly durable, the lightest underwear you'll ever wear. I love Tommy John. I'm a huge fan of Tommy John. I'm wearing it right now. I wear it every day. The Air underwear is great. I also just wear their Second Skin fabric that I think is really great, and it's my go-to. Truly, it's what's in my drawer and on my drawers, you know, or whatever. Go to TommyJohn.com today and save 25% off your first order with code LOVEIT. Comfort perfected. Just use code LOVEIT at checkout and upgrade your essentials today. TommyJohn.com, code LOVEIT.
Keep it, listeners. Louis Fertel here. I have something I've been dying to get off my chest. Dr. Robbie is the real villain of The Pitt. There, I said it. Okay, but that's not actually the big news. Here's the big news. Emmy-nominated television host Nina Parker is officially the new co-host of Keep It. Woo-hoo. That's the confession. The Dr. Robbie thing was just, you know, me needing to say it somewhat out loud.
Okay, shots fired, and I hear you're Dr. Robbie, and I raise you. Sex in the City wasn't really a show about finding love. It was a humiliation ritual on bad friendships. The clothes were cute, though.
Oh, yeah, the tutu in the opening credits,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Every week, Nina and I will bring you an inside look at all the pop culture drama, the hottest takes you can handle, and honestly, maybe some you can't. Plus, celebrity guests galore.
We're going to guide you through gorgeous wreckage of pop culture. We are unpacking the biggest stories in TV, film, entertainment news. We're going to go all the way to Gen Z, from YouTube taking over the horror genre to Olivia Rodrigo redefining pop music. And then we're going to also talk about maybe you partying with Madonna a little bit.
Oh yeah, that one time at the Abbey. It was sweaty. But in a good way. New episodes drop every Wednesday on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with. Thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
We're back. My next guests are the stars of Deli Boys and TikTok, respectively. Please give it up for Asif Ali and Chris Olsen.
Yes.
Hi.
Thank
Welcome.
You. How's
Thanks
it going?
Good you. To see you. Come on
hey,
in.
Hey, guys. I want to sit like you. I saw a video of you and you sit like this.
No, you got to get up high.
What is this? Is this to establish dominance?
I don't know. It is like a gay thing.
Feels good, right?
You know, we all got to do it.
Well, I don't want to appropriate if it's a...
No. Oh, wait, hey, woke one's dead, appropriation.
okay, here we go.
Bring out the sombreros.
It feels kind of nice. As an Indian person, I would get murdered if I put my feet on any sort of furniture.
Oh, you know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
I haven't thought about that.
Okay, yeah.
Now, Asif, you were initially booked on this show.
I was.
To promote Deli Boys.
Here we go. Here it takes a turn.
And in between you coming on, now wanting to come on the show and coming on the show, Deli Boys has been canceled.
Unemployed. Unemployed.
And so in light of this news, we figured we'd lead with a special segment and conversation we're calling Setbacks.
Okay, here we go. Oh, God, not the boulder. Okay.
Hello.
Shout out to the graphics department. That is me.
How has the news hit you? And any word for those goons over at Hulu?
Oof. Hey, listen, which camera is my camera?
Go them,
you motherfuckers. I swear to God. Let me get in a good power position. You motherfuckers. If I ever see, I'm coming for you, dude. How dare you? And if you have anything else coming up, I'd love to get back in the Hulu family. I'd love that.
Gotta find a way to work together. Hulu, we gotta find a way to work together.
No, it was a great experience. It was one of the best jobs I've ever had in my life, and what a unique show to be on, an all South Asian fronted show where we, you know, got to be, you know, the story instead of the sort of side character. And I think it's gonna be something that will pay dividends in the future. It'll be one of those shows where people go like, I just saw that. And it'll be 20 years from now. I just saw it.
Yeah.
You guys, what happened?
That's what I say about my canceled show. But hopefully for you, it'll be true.
I think so. I feel good about it. I feel good.
We had Purna Jagannath on and she's amazing. She's amazing in the show. So.
She's so good. We got one huge Purna head here. Yeah. That just says talk about the show.
Yeah. Chris, any setbacks you'd like to talk about during our setback section?
None. I've never been set back.
He's never been set back.
No, just no setbacks.
I've had a lot. I'm always going through a setback, but just, you know, I but addiction was a tough one. That's hard.
A classic.
Anyone
setback.
An addict? Oh, come on. Just me, I guess. Chris, that was a tough one. Getting sent to rehab at 19 felt like a setback.
19?
And it was.
Wow.
But then setbacks always throw you ahead, no?
Right.
For sure. Well, maybe actually, the rehab isn't a setback. Probably the alcoholism would be the setback.
No, the rehab
is the way out of it.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure.
I don't want to.
Was it alcoholism?
Why am I telling you about your experience?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. It was a bunch of things. Alcohol was one of them.
Damn. I got to live.
Oh, yeah. Get into
I think
it.
That's not the lesson.
That's what I'm taking from this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you sprain your ankle?
I did sprain my ankle.
Making Deli Boys?
Yeah, you know what's funny? Watching Emmy talk about like all of the stuff that she did. Also watching and being like, oh, I guess I'm not a real actor. Like the amount of, I have never once been like, what is my shadow self? Not once in my life. That's why I do comedy though. I think that's the difference between like serious actors and then clowns who are on TV for a little bit. You know what I mean?
There's that great story though of Justin Hoffman staying up all night to get into character for Marathon Man.
Uh-huh.
And is it not Sir Alec Guinness? It's one of those old British guys. Mm-hmm. He says, have you considered acting, my boy?
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go 1,000% on this project. We were so excited to be on Deli Boys. So anything that they wanted me to do, I would do too much. So in this particular thing, they were like, hey, you just need to run. Like, people are chasing you. You got to, like, get your fiance in the car, and then you got to run. And I took it as, like, oh, you want me to run full fucking speed until I'm, like, a quarter of a mile away. So I was running full speed, and I did.
Tom Cruise
You know you're not fucking around when you do the fucking, when you do the knife hands.
But Tom Cruise hurt himself running, so you're like him.
Yeah,
I think you're like him.
I'm basically Indian Tom Cruise, and I want that to be the title of this episode.
Yeah. No, it's put on the list. Definitely put it on the pitch for sure. Now, Chris, your book's called I Think My Therapist Hates Me.
It is.
And it's out September 1st.
Sure is.
Bro, what a good photo, too.
I agree.
Holy shit. It's like.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'm crying.
It's like To All the Boys I Loved. Type of vibe, you
yes.
know what I mean?
Well, I'm gay.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I felt good about that. I knew the title and what the cover was going to be before I started writing anything. I just kind of that was like the image in my head. But I did. That's yep. It's coming out. There's a book. Yes.
And do you think your therapist hates you, or is that just something you were afraid of?
Not anymore. There was a time when I was at rehab. I still work with the same therapist I did at that rehab I was at. But when I was there, it was very intense. It was very kind of shame-based in a way. Like, you are a bad person, and the rest of your life is making up for that. Tough stuff.
That was their strategy?
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
That's nuts.
I'm sorry. Wait, go back.
Sorry.
The therapist
right,
is saying
over.
You're a bad... Are you saying you're a bad person, or is the therapist saying you're a bad person?
All of the therapists there are kind of saying that
Damn,
to you.
Damn, bro.
It's tough. Read about it in the book.
don't tell him anything else. Yeah.
But it has been interesting working with that exact same therapist, because she has since left that place because she also figured out that was maybe not the way she wanted to be a therapist.
Oh, I see.
And so now we're undoing the things that she had once done. But I also think the thing, like,
sort of like my paying twice to build a cabinet.
Yes.
Yeah, you know? Right. Building it back up. I think my therapist hates me. It can also be substituted for anything. I think everyone hates me. I think I hate me. I think you hate me. But it's just thinking.
Bro, you were telling me that backstage. You're like, I hate his fucking guts. That's crazy.
That's something we were talking about.
You're right.
Not out here. I got to be, I have to be kind of open and amenable and
yes,
curious.
Of course.
Trying to be curious.
Yeah, and that's why I wrote this book, because of you.
So yeah, my goal in therapy was to always be like, listen, some weeks I'm going to have breakthroughs, some weeks I'm not, but every week you're going to have a fun time.
You're going to have a fun anecdote
therapist,
every
I'm going to bring it.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it. It's going to be an adventure. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an adventure. And then I'm just going to stop responding.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Now,
that's nuts.
You started posting videos during the pandemic, and you've really, you know, I would say you're someone that would be in the category of posting through it. You've posted through the high highs and the low lows.
Perhaps too much.
No, well, that would be for something to discover. Maybe that's one of the things you find out about in the book, yeah, as to whether it was too much or the right amount.
Right.
Whoa.
Right.
But there have been moments where, like, I definitely was aware of you, and then I remember you were like getting a lot of attention, including like a lot of like unwanted attention and people sharing photos of you that you didn't want shared, and you really kind of dealt with it kind of to the camera. And I'm wondering like why you do that, and whether at times you question whether you're putting too much out there.
I have a different relationship with social media, but then there are also eras of different relationships with it. And that particular era was one of sharing quite a lot and just feeling the emotion and posting it in real time. And I think I realized that maybe there's not much peace being protected in that. And that was also coincidentally around the time that I was in the middle of writing about many of the things I went through as a kid and as a teenager. And so it was just, there was so much emotion coursing through me at the time. And I think now I still find it very important to be vulnerable, but you also need to know which parts of you you want to protect for yourself or for the inner circle, and then what part may be important to share because someone else could want to hear it and it could help them.
I'm going to ask an impertinent question,
please. But
I'm going to start by saying that sometimes I think, I love cooking. I cook all the time.
Oh, do you?
I love cooking. And then sometimes I'll think, oh, I should post about this and post while I want to make something and show people what I'm doing because I'm having such a fun time doing it. But then I have this moment where I think, oh, but then you're going to turn it into a form of work. You're going to take this thing that you love doing that's personal, and now it's just another part of content. Mm-hmm. And you're taking something that was a thing that was outside of the content minds, and you're bringing it down into the content minds. And I sometimes, like, when you're having in a moment where you're emotional, you're upset about something, there also has to be a moment that kicks in, and I'm going to record this, right? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. There. I mean, it is so funny to think at points, not in this serious moment that we were talking about, but when I am crying and I think, I got to take a photo of this.
Wow.
This is good. This is good. I mean, most of the time in those moments, it's like I'm listening to a song or I'm watching a movie and I'm not necessarily
You're watching this
so,
pod.
I'm watching this.
Yeah,
I'm watching
weeping.
Yeah, anything you've
light.
Done.
Yeah.
Yes. But in that moment specifically, I think there is so much, I can track therapeutically why I then eventually felt almost like I needed to share my sadness about what was going on in my life. And I think it was a culmination of eventually getting to the point of I had been sharing so much about my life at that point, and I felt like I was too open, but that it had been taken advantage of. But at the same time, I'm writing a book that feels very open and vulnerable. And so I think it was just kind of the pinnacle of me realizing that, like, sometimes being open doesn't necessarily mean always, it isn't always a positive thing in terms of a parasocial relationship. It can be for the people in your life, but it feels so cathartic a lot of the time to share something you're going through online because you kind of create community in the comments of that video. But then you kind of have to decide which moments I do want to share to create that kind of community. What do I need support about? But ultimately, what is the point of sharing this?
Yeah. Now, Asif, someone who had a parasocial relationship with you is Zohran Mamdani.
Yes.
Who was a fan of your sketch show.
Yes.
And so how did...
I met Zohran in New York. Actually, we went to do press in upstate New York after season one, and we had met some of the people that were working on his, like, election campaign, and we made a little video. Me and Sagar made, like, a little video for him. And then when I actually met him, this is after he had won, we were at, like, a Eid dinner in New York, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go introduce myself and probably be like, hey, I did that video for you. You probably don't remember, whatever. And then I was like, hey, he's like, I know you. Goat face. And that's
the name of the tree. Yeah, it's not just a kind of insulting comment. It's not saying
that was
you have the face of a gauche.
Yeah. Me, Hasan Minhaj, Fahim Anwar, and Aristotle Atari had a sketch group when we first moved to LA. And he was like, I love your stuff, man. I've been watching you since I was like a kid. And then I was like, oh my God, that guy's the mayor now. He was watching our dumb sketches. And
it's tough to hear the mayor of New York say, since I was a kid.
That's a little bit
of a gut punch for
but
sure.
But it is pretty awesome to know that, like, I didn't... That's, like, my biggest name drop. I can die knowing, like, yeah, he knows me.
That's cool.
He knows me. How cool is that?
That's
you know
very
what I mean?
Cool.
That would be, like, if Obama knew your SoundCloud. And he was like, yeah, you were getting into, like, EDM in the early 2000s. Very cool. I know that stuff. Yeah.
Boy, remember SoundCloud?
Yeah.
I'm having my brains going to SoundCloud. Do you know about SoundCloud?
No.
Fuck, we're moving on.
Go to commercial immediately, yeah.
Now, Asif, you have you do stand-up about how Indian weddings are gay.
Yeah.
Any
the bit is, it's not that, before I get canceled. The bit is that...
That's over. We're not doing that anymore.
I went to India with my family, and I went there for a wedding, and I was like Googling... like about the city and stuff. And then I saw some articles where they're like, yeah, same-sex marriage isn't legal in India. And I found that very funny because, you know, to me, Indian weddings are like, they're very flamboyant. And I was like, that dichotomy didn't make any sense to me, that you could have such a flamboyant event, yet at the same time be like, no, two dudes, two chicks, they you guys can't get married, but I'm going to hold hands with this man and dance with him. And there will be no women allowed. But this is a very straight event. I'm gonna feed another man with my hands. But two dudes can't get married. They get it.
But we also are curious about other areas where Indian culture and gay culture might overlap. And because simply finding common ground is boring, we thought we could fight over which areas those truly belong to in a game we're calling Bollywood or West Hollywood. Hey. And here's how it works.
Come on.
I'm gonna name a thing. Asif and Chris, you'll each have to make your case for why that thing is more gay or more Indian. We have an Indian writer on the staff.
Hey, man, don't worry about it.
Who said this is fine. And even though my sexual orientation is a little bit all over the place, I'm still pretty gay culturally.
Sure. Have you been to India before?
No. I was in an Indian wedding, though.
When?
For my friend Samir.
Oh,
many
nice.
Years ago. It was a big day. It was a big 2-day affair.
And what did it feel like?
It was great. I liked the part where we all followed the car.
Isn't that sick?
We all danced behind the car for
chase
a while.
After a car?
Yeah, it was cool.
It used to be like a horse or an elephant back in the day.
Oh,
but now it's just a mid-size SUV.
Yeah. Cool. Elephant would be better.
Way better.
All right, here we go. First
all right,
up,
let's do it.
Elaborate processions. More gay... or more Indian. We have the Gay Pride Parade. We also have Indian.
I would say if we're just going straight up elaborate, I would say that's probably more gay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once you're involving teams and outfits and orders and stuff like that, it ends up being a little... I think it leans towards gay more. What do you think? I like how everyone got really quiet because they don't want to be wrong. They're like, I know the camera's not on me, but I don't want to be in trouble.
I think gay is right. I think that makes sense. I'm sort of going to defer to you on the Indian part and just sort of own the gay part.
Because a lot of what happens in India can be called elaborate because there's a billion people. So there, you cannot have a small anything there. Any event you do is going to be so many people.
We're going to give it to West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Wow.
Next up, we have men holding hands at the grocery store. Seems gay to me, but in
Indian, like, you can be straight in India and be holding hands. That is considered a straight thing,
which is cool.
It is awesome. I think it's great. I'm like, why do you guys stop at not letting same sex people get married? But this is like,
well, there's so much like
and they're doing pinkies. Look at this.
That's so cool.
Could you imagine?
Well, I remember
me
when
and you and Erwan just pinkies.
I mean, I'm loving it. Well, I remember when I was a little boy, like the boys would hold hands.
Yeah.
And it really, there was something that has changed even in that, like, I think that wouldn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
But there was like touches, like it's why athletes still touch. Places where masculinity is not as questioned, they're still touching. Like athletes will still touch.
Yeah.
Like people will touch in emotional moments.
That's why straight guys will like try to gravitate towards things where they can do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a game so I can hug a guy.
Are you a hand
holder? I can hug a guy.
Are you a hand holder in life? Like, are you a, if you're dating someone or seeing someone, do you like to hold hands, or are you not a hold hand holder?
I don't know.
So we're gonna call that Indian.
Yeah.
Bollywood. I forgot what we're supposed to say. I get it.
Yes.
Let's just come not on. Have me saying, let's call that Indian. And finally, high fiber diets.
High fiber diets?
It's a lot of beans, it's a lot of rice. Is it because you're Indian, or is it because you're gonna get fucked in the ass? What did you think it was about?
Right.
I'll say
it's the second one.
Yeah, I'll say yeah.
Probably. I'm guessing.
All right, we're giving that one to West Hollywood.
Yeah, come on.
And that's our game. Thank you, Chris Olsen and Asif Ali. Chris's book, I Think My Therapist Hates Me, is available for pre-order now. And check out Deli Boys on Hulu, but it doesn't matter, really.
It doesn't matter, but please watch it. I'll be at the Bell House October 17th in New York City.
And you go to punchup.live/AsifAli to see you on tour there and elsewhere. And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Blinds.com. Imagine a home where the light behaves how you want and you wake up on your own terms, not the sun's. Blinds.com has spent 30 years perfecting the window shopping experience, backed by 50,000 five-star reviews and over 25 million windows covered. We make it effortless to transform your space. You're in good hands. Whether you go full DIY or use their licensed pros, you're always in the driver's seat. Need a hand choosing your style? Book a free consultation with a Blinds.com design expert today. They'll even ship samples to your door fast and free. Choose from a huge variety of style options at prices that fit any budget. Everything is backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee, because at Blinds.com, the only thing they treat better than windows is you. We have Blinds.com blinds at the office, and they're great. We had them installed in our office. The office was getting so hot in the afternoons because there was just sun coming in. And so we got these great window shades that we can roll down electronically. They were installed in a couple of hours. We stepped out of the office. We stepped back. It really made the office nicer, and they did a great job. Right now, Blinds.com is giving our listeners an exclusive $50 off when you spend $500 or more. Just use code LOVEIT at checkout. Limited time offer. Rules and restrictions apply. See Blinds.com for details.
Keep it, listeners. Louis Fertel here. I have something I've been dying to get off my chest. Dr. Robbie is the real villain of The Pitt. There, I said it. Okay, but that's not actually the big news. Here's the big news. Emmy-nominated television host Nina Parker is officially the new co-host of Keep It. That's the confession. The Dr. Robbie thing was just, you know, me needing to say it somewhat out loud.
Okay, shots fired, and I hear you're Dr. Robbie, and I raise you. Sex in the City wasn't really a show about finding love. It was a humiliation ritual on bad friendships. The clothes were cute, though.
Oh, yeah, the you know? Tutu in the opening credits?
Yeah, it's really cute.
Every week, Nina and I will bring you an inside look at all the pop culture drama, the hottest takes you can handle, and honestly, maybe some you can't. Plus, celebrity guests galore.
We're going to guide you through gorgeous wreckage of pop culture. We are unpacking the biggest stories in TV, film, entertainment news. We're going to go all the way to Gen Z, from YouTube taking over the horror genre to Olivia Rodrigo redefining pop music. And then we're going to also talk about maybe you partying with Madonna a little bit.
Oh yeah, that one time at the Abbey. It was sweaty. But in a good way. New episodes drop every Wednesday on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
And we're back! Please welcome back to the stage, Emmy Rossum.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Somebody, what's this? What's back. The scoot situation?
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Go right in the middle. Right in the middle.
Okay,
it's great.
Great.
You've done
awesome.
It. Perfect.
Again, it's so deep. This is so deep.
It's a deep couch. It's a deep couch. I got it at a vintage store.
I love it.
Really?
Because I put all my anxiety about moving the show from a theater to the stage by going and shopping for vintage furniture.
Gorgeous.
Similarly, how Donald Trump can't handle the vast number of failures all around him and the things outside of his control.
Nice.
Focused on a ballroom. I can't control all the ways. And there's a lot that was going into this, but I could shop for a couch at a vintage store, at least the ones that were open over the weekend.
That's right.
Who is your Natalie Harp?
What? I'm just a boy looking for his Natalie Harp.
I'm just a man looking for a wireless printer.
I gotta tell you something. The staff of this show, I don't need Natalie Harp. Maybe somewhere between how they treat me now and Natalie Harp would be great. I don't need that kind of devotion, but people who respect me would be nice.
He doesn't need a letter. He needs a text message, a positive
something.
Text. Yeah.
Nah. Everyone team's great. And what do I always say? I love the union. Okay.
Yes.
Now, in honor of Emmy's truly excellent show on Hulu, we're putting a new spin on an old classic, introducing The Furious Wheel.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
Here's how it works. When the wheel lands on you, it's time to go off about something you're furious about. As if you're on the verge of becoming a female serial killer.
Oh.
Or it could just be something that bugs you. Let's spin the wheel.
It's me. Okay, this euphemisms. I don't like euphemisms. I want a thing to be called a thing.
Okay.
I don't want to call it ghosting. Uh-huh. That's abandonment.
Oh.
I don't want to call it conscious uncoupling. That's the dissolving of a partnership. And here's one that really, really freaks me out. Do you know about Alpine divorce?
Oh, no. Yes. What's that?
Alpine divorce is when he is such a pussy, he can't break up with you.
Oh.
But instead, he takes you on a hiking trip to the top of a mountain and doesn't even have the balls to necessarily
push you off.
Yeah. No, he leaves you there. Because in this version, he doesn't actually have to watch you die. Right? He's just going to make his own way down the mountain and leave you without any skills or any tools or any compass or anything like this. And hopefully he'll have created a situation in which you cease to be able to be alive. And that really pisses me off because we shouldn't call it Alpine divorce. Alpine divorce is a candle at Anthropology that's giving like pine and bergamot. Yeah, I'm done.
Wow. That's incredible.
Thank you.
Holy moly.
Alpine divorce is such a good name for a candle.
It really is.
So funny.
Giving just a hint of I can't have a direct conversation with you.
Yes. With notes of resentment.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
A gentle note.
And avoidance.
Yeah, avoidance, resentment that build up to the point where you have justified yourself this conduct. You know,
and a little cedar.
Yeah, got a little cedar.
A little hint of cedar.
Something cool. All right, let's spin it again. It's landed on Chris.
Damn, dude. Here we go.
Okay, stop. You shouldn't be allowed on the internet if you're in a bad mood. If you're in a really bad mood about something, or specifically social media, and you shouldn't be allowed to comment. Mm. Also, to comment, you should have to post a photo or video of yourself first. We need to see who you are. Coward.
Yeah.
Show yourself. I'm not talking about the things where people are getting on and having some discourse about things. It's if you're going to call me ugly, I just want to see what you look like. And I'm not going to say it back, but also, you know, let's also maybe if we don't go online when we're in a horrible mood or we're feeling angry at the world, that's not going to happen. We can all be happier together, maybe. Right. Restrictions on it. Post a photo of yourself. Let's see you. Also, in the last 8 seconds, I just want to say I love Phantom of the Opera. Favorite movie.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Not furious about that. And that's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
Helping
each other up.
I just like to subscribe.
Oh, come on.
Like and subscribe? Like to subscribe? I don't know.
Yeah. It's always like, people can't. These anonymous comments, but no, we have to have anonymous people on the internet because what about the Chinese dissidents? And it's like, well, I don't think the Chinese dissident is calling me fat. You know what I'm saying? And so,
how funny would it be if they were,
though? That'd be fine. It's like a weird way to use the social media platform for that. My compromise is that I don't care. I don't necessarily need you to post a picture of you, but I think everyone should always have to have pinned at the top the room they're posting from. Oh. You know what I mean? Ah. If you saw the horrible dens and kind of rooms and spaces, and it's like
toilet.
Pretty haughty opinion for a guy posting from that.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Wow.
Something to think about. Let's spin it again. Awesome, what do you got?
Photo.
Great photo of you.
I didn't even realize I had that photo. That's sick as hell, dude.
We had somebody on the show once.
I look like a detective.
We had someone on the show once, we spin the wheel and it landed on me and they said, oh, that's such a bad picture of me. What's your rant about? That was mine.
All right, this is mine. I have been dealing with this my whole life. Stop coming at us for eating slow. I'm sick of it. People are always coming at my ass for taking my time. Oh, is it illegal to savor a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? I'm just kidding. Why can't I eat slowly? About my whole life, you've been like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Why are you always eating slow? Why are you always eating slow? And I'm like, because I'm enjoying my life. Much less if I start eating with my hands. These two girls know what I'm talking about. If I start eating with my hands, then it becomes a whole like, oh, now it's National Geographic. People can't... They can't open the aperture to be like, perhaps I would like to eat these with my hands and I'd like to take my time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the type of, I think we need to go back to slow living. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, I want to not be on social media and I want to unplug. But then they're like, hurry the fuck up. Why aren't you inhaling this burrito right now? And it's like, let's unplug here. Let's chill.
There's a.
Thank you.
I'm glad you shared that.
There's a challenge we're all facing, yes. Which is if digital technology and not just social media, but just computers and information technology has made us more productive in digital spaces, that has raised the value of time across the economy,
sure.
Including in non-digital time.
Yeah.
I do sometimes think some of the reason traffic gets crazy and people drive more recklessly and they eat faster is because they are dealing, there's a name for it, there's this paradox where that's why like, and so because time itself, you can do more with it because of technology, you end up feeling like you're wasting time just doing things at a normal analog pace.
I see what you're saying. So like, eat the burrito really, really fast so you can get on the internet and leave really rude comments.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Anonymously,
I can't wait to tell my husband tonight that I understand now why he eats so fast and I won't nag him anymore. I'm like, yo, why are you eating so fast? Like, it's not a race.
He's like, and
how fast I eat. I want to eat what I want, how I want to eat. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's just because of the upward pressure AI is putting on GDP.
Yeah.
And individual productivity. Yeah. Let's spin it again. It has landed on me, and I want to tell you about a little rabbit hole I went down last night. Last night, there was a mayoral debate between Karen Bass and Nithya Raman. Disclosure, my partner is working for Nithya Raman, but I have been quite frustrated with Karen Bass ever since she came out against the housing policy that I believe is necessary for the safety of the long-term prosperity of the city. I then was reading about the ways in which potholes and street repair has gotten worse in L.A. It turns out for 8 months last year, there were no street repairs in Los Angeles. That's crazy. Why? L.A. passed a rule that said you have to update the streets with ADA compliant ramps, that if you're going to do a street renovation legally, it was already the law, you have to go back and put in a ramp. Uh-huh. That is expensive. And so instead of repairing the city, they're doing little patches. So they've stopped doing actual paving and they've started doing little patches to avoid doing a ramp. Why do they avoid doing a ramp? Because ramps in Los Angeles are expensive. How much? $50,000 a corner. $50,000 a corner. $200,000 to do an intersection. And you may think, oh, that's just California. No, it's half the price in Beverly Hills. You take a step over. They could do it in Beverly Hills for half, which is still 10 times what it costs in fucking Dallas. That's it.
Jeez. I gotta get in the ramp business.
Absolutely out fucking rageous. And so instead of actually repaving the city properly, we do a quick and dirty fix that costs more over the long term because the city doesn't have the money to pay to repair the ramps at the cost the city charges to repair the ramps. And instead of actually reforming it and figuring out why the fuck it's costing 50 grand to fix a corner, we're just not going to have paved roads. But don't worry, the city is paving some roads in part of the city that don't have sidewalks. Well, where are those places? Those are a few suburban neighborhoods with less traffic. Where are the places that are, the streets are all fucked up? The high traffic areas filled with the fucking people. That's where they're not paving the roads. They're repaving the roads in the parts of the city that are quieter and empty and the streets are better so they can avoid dealing with the fact that they can't repave the roads in the parts of the city where the roads need to be repaved because they've gotten so much shit for failing to repave the fucking roads. And anyway, that's just another thing that's going on in Los Angeles, which I will periodically update you on in a segment we call What the Fuck is Going On in Los Angeles? When we come back, second thoughts. And we're back. Now for a segment we call Second Thoughts. Here's how it works. We talk about what we regret from tonight.
Oh, just from this show?
This episode. Is anything that's on your mind?
Oh, wow.
And the producers, are my producers who I love and cherish, have written a list of things they think I should already regret.
Oh.
And if you have anything that you'd like to add, please do.
Okay.
I do have one. This is a rare treat, a pre-show regret. And I'm just going to read what it says. You spent too much time tweeting about the Sherman Oaks Homeowners Association today instead of working on the show. I was pissed.
You have any for us that we should regret? Any pitches?
I have regrets about what I did with you, but I leave up to you the regrets that you might have about what you brought to the show. For example, for Emmy, I want to just reiterate that I did not lie to the FBI agent.
About how many times you got stoned.
Let's see, I compared your traumatic FBI training to playing Grand Theft Auto. I may have platformed bear misinformation.
Oh, yeah,
Something to think about there, and no one knows. I explained the plot of the film Day After Tomorrow, which you were in.
Yes.
To you.
I loved it. I've had poor posture during most of our segments, and I touched you without asking.
Oh, I didn't.
I like when I went my like to
second
like,
book loading.
Oh. Hell yeah! I hate Emmy.
Oh, no,
you're all good.
Okay, great.
So fine.
Okay, great.
So fine.
Chris and Asif, I immediately yelled, "Bring out the sombreros!"
Yeah.
I argued with Crick about whether rehab was a setback. Have a little bit of regret about that. It was Sir Laurence Olivier who told Dustin Hoffman to try acting. I couldn't find.
Got it.
I shouldn't have told Asif backstage that I hate Chris.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
I regret
that. But in all honesty, it's good to have it out there, you know?
Yeah, it's good to have it out there.
It's good for the book.
It's good for the book.
Chris, any regrets about this evening?
Ooh, doing the show. No regrets about it. I feel great. My regret is that you ask me a question and then I will just keep talking. So that's it.
Wow.
Cool. I mean, do you have any regrets?
More than the ones I offered. Oh, also, something about my shoe.
What's
my
wrong
pant,
with your shoe?
It keeps getting stuck on my shoe, and then I keep picking it out. I don't know.
What a cool look.
Also, sitting back, and I really needed some boob tape, but I'm okay. I'm surviving.
Yeah.
She'll be okay, I think.
There's no regret in there. Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have any additional regrets?
I feel like sitting next to me, I'm like, oh, man, I should have wore a more interesting outfit. Do you know what I mean? I look like a guy you'd hire to move this furniture.
Right before the show, one of the producers of this show said, is that what you're wearing?
Yeah.
To me.
Oh, to you.
He said, is that what you're wearing? Because I think darker would work better on the show, but if that's what you're wearing for today, it's fine.
That's a very mom thing to do. Like, oh, is that the way you're going to comb your eyebrows? Mm.
We love you, but we're just worried about you.
Why did you look at me and then talk about eyebrows?
No. My mom has a thing about my eyebrows. She's like, do you like them so heavy? Kind of thing, yeah. You know?
Oh, do you like them so heavy?
Like them
that's
so
such
heavy?
A mom question. Like I'll tell you.
Yeah, Mom, I like them heavy.
I only have one regret that this show is now over, and that is our show. Thank you so much to Emmy Rossum, Asif Ali, and Chris Olsen. There are 74 days until the midterms. Have a great weekend. Love It or Leave It is a Cricket Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Keep it, listeners. Louis Fertel here. I have something I've been dying to get off my chest. Dr. Robbie is the real villain of The Pit. There, I said it. Okay, but that's not actually the big news. Here's the big news. Emmy-nominated television host Nina Parker is officially the new co-host of Keep It. Woo-hoo. That's the confession. The Dr. Robbie thing was just, you know, me needing to say it somewhat out loud.
Okay, shots fired, and I hear you're Dr. Robbie, and I raise you. Sex and the City wasn't really a show about finding love. It was a humiliation ritual on bad friendships. The clothes were cute, though.
Oh, yeah, the you know? Tutu in the opening credits,
yeah, it's
please.
Really cute.
Every week, Nina and I will bring you an inside look at all the pop culture drama, the hottest takes you can handle, and honestly, maybe some you can't. Plus, celebrity guests galore.
We're going to guide you through gorgeous wreckage of pop culture. We are unpacking the biggest stories in TV, film, entertainment news. We're going to go all the way to Gen Z, from YouTube taking over the horror genre to Olivia Rodrigo redefining pop music. And then we're going to also talk about maybe you partying with Madonna a little bit.
Oh yeah, that one time at the Abbey. It was sweaty. but in a good way. New episodes drop every Wednesday on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.